This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Doing the fiscal flop.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. The state of California is now in a position of having to issue IOUs in lieu of paying its bills. The state Senate shut down for the night, having failed to deliver a stopgap spending plan for dealing with California's $24 billion deficit. That's $24 billion with a B. And the Golden State isn't the only one facing financial trouble. In 46 states, July 1st means ringing in a new fiscal year. And this is anything but a happy new year. Nearly all the states have cut programs to deal with huge budget shortfalls. And Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports the pain is not nearly over.
The recession has punched a $166 billion hole in state budgets nationwide. The feds have made up nearly half of that with stimulus money. States have cut services and laid off employees. They've dipped into reserves. And 25 have raised taxes. Brian Sigritz is with the National Association of State Budget Officers.
States that were very hesitant to even look at tax increases now are being forced to at least consider it.
He says legislatures are worried about a voter backlash, so they're treading carefully.
They're hesitant to do the broad-based tax increases, increasing sales tax, personal income tax, so instead they might be willing to increase things like cigarette taxes and increase fees.
But Sigritz says whatever states have already done, it's probably not enough because their revenue just keeps falling.
A lot of states throughout fiscal 2010 are going to have to come back and look at cutting the budget again.
At least until the economy turns around and tax collections revive. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The outlook's a little brighter across the pond. European markets are up this morning. London's FTSE has stepped up 1.5% this hour. Frankfurt's DAX has advanced by 1.75%. In Paris, the CAC 40 is up almost 2%. This on the heels of modest declines on Wall Street yesterday. The financial crisis has spawned a whole range of programs trying to stimulate a recovery, but the PPIP has to be the most exotic. That's short for the Public-Private Partnership, where the government encourages private investors to buy troubled assets. The program was announced with much fanfare in March, and there's talk the Treasury could finally roll the PPIP out today. But as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, it's already looking a lot less ambitious than when it was originally launched.
The original plan was aimed at buying everything from loans to bonds to mortgages that had been sliced and diced and sold as asset-backed securities. Now it's those securities that will be the focus of the plan. David Byme is a finance professor at Columbia Business School. He says the Treasury seems ready to try the PPIP on a small scale to see if anything works.
The real question is, can you find trades that sellers will be willing to sell at and buyers will be willing to buy at? And maybe the answer is no.
Right now, the market's locked. The banks holding the securities won't drop their prices, and buyers think assets are too risky to warrant more than a fraction of their original value. Byme says the government has pumped billions of dollars into banks in recent months. With their cash cushions comfortably plumped, the banks don't need to sell those securities as badly as they did before. He says that's got plenty of people wondering if there's any need for the PPIP at all. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
General Motors will be back before a bankruptcy court in Manhattan today, answering more objections to its plan to sell the bulk of its assets to a government-funded holding company. And later today, we'll find out how things are going sales-wise for U.S. automakers. Turns out sales abroad may be one of the bright spots. GM has already set an all-time record in China for the first half of the year, with vehicle sales there up 38%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Time to get the 411 on something you might be paying for but not getting. Our regular contributor here, LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, has taken a look at phone directories, and he tells us he's turned up a wrong number. We all like getting something for nothing, but this charge turns that idea on its head. David, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And I understand that we are being charged for something that we're not even getting? What is this?
You don't see this a lot, being charged a monthly fee for a service you didn't even ask for in the first place. But this is what the telecom companies do if you ask to have your number unlisted. In other words, not in the phone book, not when you call 411. Most, if not all, telecom companies, that's the phone companies and the cable companies, will charge you a monthly fee. And the fee can be all over the place. For instance, Time Warner Cable, $0.99 a month, goes all the way up to Charter Communications, another cable company that charges $5 a month to not provide a service to you.
This is a fee that I know has existed for a long time, but times have changed, right?
And so has technology, and the simplicity of making the change and having the customer's preference recorded, you would think would be a one-time only affair. In fact, industry insiders say, yeah, it's not that hard. We make the change in the database and that's it. It's done. But the telcos charge it over and over, and I put it to them. I called every single one of them that I could get my hands on. And in fact, one of them, Charter, even said to me, well, we charge a recurring fee because the other companies do.
So why does it work this way? That it seems backwards to me. Why not opt in to a phone directory if you want your number listed?
That's a terrific question. And the reason is very simple. This fee represents millions and millions of dollars in revenue for the telecom companies. And it also represents a significant boost to their bottom line at a time when many of these markets are already mature. If this were turned around and it became an opt-in, so a customer would say, I want to be in on the directory, that's a much more customer-friendly approach. It's also a much less profitable approach for the telcos, so you can understand why they wouldn't want an opt-in approach.
Now, it sounds like the consumer is going to have to start fighting back in order to get this fee changed, perhaps?
And there are a number of ways that you can fight back. I've heard from a number of customers who say, you know what we do? What we do is we keep our number listed, but we put a bogus name in.
So in the meantime, we're just going to all have to keep ponying up here.
I think so. And tell your elected representatives that this is a fee you don't quite understand. See if you can put a little push behind it.
David Lazarus is a business columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And just for the record, our contact information comes fee-free. Just head over to our website, marketplace.org, and click on the link that says Contact. I'm Bob Mooney, Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.